Yes, I am so happy what God is doing in our lives. Thank you. Thank you, Charles. So the 19th, we're having a combined service with Hope Chapel. And we're still on that journey together of discovering how to become how the body of Christ can come together. Sunday night, they have service at 6, 5:15, they have soup. So if you want to come tonight, I'm playing drums tonight. Either that or cucarachas. I'm not sure which one it's going to be. But we're learning how to help. Pastor Jeff is at Brad Bramlett's church this morning preaching for him. Isn't that just so cool that he's at Brad's church? And Father, we bless Pastor Jeff as he speaks at New Bridges. God, we just pray blessings on New Bridges and Brad and Susan. Lord, what wonderful folks they are. And we bless them. And Lord, I love what you're doing in uniting your church. I just love what you're doing in bringing us together. And God, thank you that territories are falling and walls are breaking down and competition is just being destroyed because we're all on the same team going for the kingdom of God. And we bless that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. And it's just a beautiful thing that God is doing. It's something that I stand in amazement, and I'm glad that we get to be a part of it. Just real quick, honestly, I've had so many people talk to me and say, "What are you doing with Hope Chapel?" And I said, "Well, we're learning how to become family and just really learn what does that look like." And so why are you doing that? Because we're looking at becoming family. And so you're at church? Yeah. And I mean, it's so out of the box. And I just want to say, Valley Christian Center, dude, you guys are awesome. True. That you're willing to say, come. Redemption Church, they meet this month on the 19th, and that's Sunday night. And I tell you what, guys, it's just beautiful what you're doing. And you guys are amazing.
You're awesome.
Oh, Mary, come on. You know, just what that heart thing. Yeah, I have. I want to be in. We're going to be in Matthew 28, and we're going to be here probably next week as well. The Great Commission of Jesus, and basically, what Jesus is doing on the planet is he's discipling people, and the commission of Jesus, the co-labor of Jesus, is for us to partner with him on his mission and on his labor. He has been discipling me my whole life, and he continues to disciple me. That's why we will never say I am a complete disciple. We are a lifelong learners. We are learning to be followers of Jesus Christ our whole life. And in doing that, he invites us and said to this commission, this co-mission with Jesus. Here's his mission, to disciple people. And he says, I want you to come along with me, and I want you to disciple people with me, because that's what I'm doing on the planet. I am in this mission to disciple people. It still keeps going out. That's weird. Well, maybe I'll stand. The receiver's over here, so I'll just kind of... Does this look natural? Wait. If it goes out, I'll just keep switching. We've worked on it and everything, and it still is going out. But anyways... So last week we learned that part of this commission, this co-mission that we are on with Jesus is this. Go make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And what I assumed that the command of Jesus was when Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment in the Old Testament? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor yourself. And it's out of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And Jesus was trying to be set up by a teacher of the law, an expert, and they were really trying to discredit Jesus. That's all he was trying to do. He wasn't trying to learn. He was trying to discredit Jesus. And in so doing, being able to say about Jesus, see this guy, you can't trust him because he doesn't know the law. He doesn't know what's the most important. And Jesus answered his question, and he said this, all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you see him infuriating the religious people of the day because they constantly said, you're breaking the law. And usually it had something to do with this, something had to do with the Sabbath. The Sabbath was huge for the Jewish people. And Jesus would have the audacity to heal people on the Sabbath, and it would tick off all the religious leaders. Oh, man.
Sorry.
Ryan, what are you doing to me?
Trying to make it so we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Ryan, Darren, you guys are amazing. Oh, am I on now? Okay, I'm on now. So this week I was reading in Luke, and it just I laughed out loud when I was reading, because in Luke 6 and Luke 13, Jesus is teaching on a Sabbath in the synagogue, and the religious leaders are watching, and here's the phrasing, they were going to watch to see if Jesus would heal on the Sabbath. They believed he could heal, they just wanted to see if he'd do it on the Sabbath. And so it's like, are you kidding me? So there's a man whose arm was withered, and Jesus looks at the people and said, is it good to do good or evil on the Sabbath? And they stayed quiet. So Jesus had the man stand up, and he said, stretch out your arm. And this guy whose arm was withered, he stretched it out, and he was whole. And the religious leaders were so upset that they begin to find ways to get at Jesus. They weren't amazed that the guy's hand was made whole. They were ticked off because Jesus worked on the Sabbath. And they were angry about it. In Luke chapter 13, there was a woman for 18 years. She's bent over. And on the Sabbath, Jesus said, daughter, straighten up. And she did. And the guy who's the head of the synagogue, he comes up after Jesus heals the lady. And he says, excuse me, there are 6 days in which you can be healed, but don't be healed on the Sabbath. So come on 6 days to be healed, but don't come on the Sabbath. And how ridiculous that is. That this woman for 18 years, she's standing up and he says, come and have Jesus heal you on 6 days of the week, but not on the Sabbath. Wouldn't it be awesome that on our Sabbath, people straightened up and arms went out and eyes opened? Wouldn't that be awesome? They missed it. Right? Yes and amen. And I realized, family, that Jesus, when he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, I didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill them. That his life was basically living out the two core commands. He loved the Lord to God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he loved people as himself. So Jesus violated, quote unquote, their understanding of the Sabbath. But he was not trying to keep every law. He was keeping what Jesus said their most important core values. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor. Dear ones, if you could do that, you don't need law. But we recognize from Philippians 2 that only Jesus kept his heart totally to his Father. And we know that because it says that Jesus obeyed his Father even unto death on the cross. So one of the things we learn about God is God spells love O-B-E-Y.
Right.
We know how much our love for the Father is growing and increasing by our obedience to his commands. And so we're learning today, or what we learned last week, or introduced last week, maybe some to some, is that when Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, what did Jesus command? And it seems as if out of 1 John chapter 3, we can understand this, that basically all the commands of the New Testament can be summarized in these two things. Belief, faith, confidence, trust, assurance, persuasion in Jesus, and love each other as I have loved you. That we can obey all the commands of the New Testament, by believing in Jesus and by loving each other as he loved us. And so the New Testament is written for us to be able, one, to believe that God loves you, that God really does love you, that God loves you. Have I told you that God loves you? He loves you, and we believe that. As we believe that, then our lives begin to be transformed. And how do we know our lives are being transformed? It's by the way in which we love each other. So though my walk with God is personal, it's never private. That my love for you and our love for each other is an indication of our understanding of how much God loves us. And as we believe, it is expressed in our relationships. So in Matthew 28,
We're going to backtrack just a little bit, and we're going to be just a few moments, and then we're going to actually do something today that say we believe. And if that means if you need prayer for healing, or if you need prayer for encouragement, or if you've got a situation where you're worried about something, we're not going to shame you. We're going to stand with you and say, we're going to believe with you. And we're going to give opportunity at the very end of service to be able to just join together and say, Father, we believe. Not just with words, but with actions. So in Matthew 28, verse number 16, Jesus said, Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted, some hesitated, some weren't sure. They weren't positive. They weren't fully convinced. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, it's important for us to understand that when Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, he wasn't saying at the resurrection, now I have all authority. Because the gospel writers make it really clear that Jesus, while he walked on the earth, had all of the authority given to him by his Father. Matthew 9, Jesus said, all the Father has, all the authority the Father has, he's given to me. We see in Matthew, I think it's 11, where Jesus said he had power or authority to forgive sins. Jesus in Matthew 10 gave authority to his disciples to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper. We see that Jesus had authority when a storm came up, that over the elements, Jesus could speak to the wind and the waves and the clouds and the storm, and he could say, be still. And the elements had to obey him. Amazing. So when Jesus walked the natural world, he did supernatural things because he was given authority by his Father. And as Jesus submitted to his Father, that authority was released to people and supernatural things happened. Deaf ears would open, blind eyes would see, dead people would rise, lame people would walk. Amazingly, what the natural consequences of people's lives were shifted because Jesus had authority to be able to change circumstances because he had authority. So when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, he's not saying, now I've got authority. He's now saying the parameters and the sphere of where his authority resides. And he says this, all authority in heaven and earth, and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. Now we understand that unlike when Jesus walked the earth, where his authority was just where he was at, he had authority. So while he walked through the streets of Jerusalem, he had no authority in Asia. When he walked the streets of Capernaum, he had no authority in Europe because his authority was where he was at. But now, because of his death and resurrection, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So now we can recognize something that's very, very beautiful, and it's important because of the next words Jesus is going to say. In essence, Jesus said, wherever you go, my authority is already there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Right?
Glory to God.
Right? Thank you, Paul. Yep. Right? There is never, ever going to be on this earth a place that is God-forsaken. There can never be a God-forsaken place. Because Jesus said, all authority has been given by whom? His Father. In heaven and on earth. Wherever we go, dear ones, as followers of Jesus Christ, we carry authority and we have authority waiting for us. Our valley, the history of our valley, there has never been any kind of spiritual renewal in the history of our valley. In all its years of existence, there's only been once or twice, and that was in Lapway and in that area, where among the Native Americans, there was this mighty move of God where people by the hundreds came into the kingdom of God through salvation. But it's not true about Lewiston and Clarkson Valley up to this point. There are over 40,000 people in our, of the 60,000 people of our valley, over 40,000 people that are unchurched, that there is nothing of church that really gets into their heart or life. And it's been said of our valley that this is the valley of death, that this is a valley where it's hard for the kingdom of God to move forward, that this valley is a place where pastors go to die, where churches will never thrive, where people are not going to come to Jesus Christ. But that's not true. Because all authority has been given to Jesus. So because of that, Jesus' authority is in the Lewis and Clark's Valley. We got to believe that. It goes back to, do you really believe that Jesus has all authority? Now, this word authority, it's important for us to be able to understand what that word means. Here's what it is. The ability to perform an action. The right authority, the authority, the permission conferred by a higher power. In essence, I might not like what's going on sometimes in my government. But unless I have the authority to change that, the right and the permission, which right now the only right and permission I have is I go into a little ballot box, I check a box of a person, and I submit it. That's the only authority I really have to change things. Jesus said, because of who he is and what the Father has done, and because of he stayed under submission to his Father, he had all authority, the right to act, the right and the permission conferred by a higher power. He has the ability to do amazing things, not only here, but all over the world, because he has all authority.
Amen.
Can somebody say yeah to that? This is going to be huge for the disciples because these are guys who are used to just hanging with other Jewish people. In fact, when the Jews would go into a community, they would build a synagogue. They would build this community and they would kind of stay away from everybody else. And they would work if they had to. They would associate with what, as they had to. But primarily they were exclusive. But now Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you to the nations. This had to be crazy for the disciples. In Acts chapter 1, he said to them, start in Jerusalem, go to Judea and to Samaria and then the outer parts of the earth. That this gospel kingdom that they were going to carry was going to be beyond just their relationships of the Jewish people. It was going to spread. And Jesus said, before you go, you got to understand something. Wherever you go, I'm there.
Amen.
Why? Because if you read the story of the disciples, when they would go into a community to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, they'd get persecuted. See, his authority doesn't mean that life is easy. His authority doesn't mean everything goes smoothly. There is still that resistance, and we have to have confidence. We have to really believe that, guys, we're never alone in this mission. That we're never by ourselves. We carry him, and he goes before us. And here's the other part. Go. Would you say the word with me? Go. Just say it again. Go. Not like go right now, but go, you know. This word go carries a couple important thoughts. First of all, it's not a verb, which means this. It doesn't mean go to a location. But it is an imperative, which means you got to do this. And what this word carries, for me at least, there's three things, and I'm done with this. The word go means that there are going to be times and places where people feel an urging, a calling, a need to go to a specific nation or to a specific people group. And usually we call those people missionaries. That they come and they say, we are going to go to Russia. We're going to go to Africa. We're going to go to South America. We feel like God has called us to go. And when you go, there's a specific people group that is on their heart to go to those places. One of the reasons why we support missions is because typically when they go to a place, they're trying to establish something where people are not really open or haven't been exposed to the gospel, and they got to live. They just got to live. So they got to have food. They've got to have clothing. They got to have a place to live. And so we support them to establish the kingdom of God wherever they go. And we celebrate that. There are pastors throughout our valley who weren't raised in this valley, but they came from another place because they felt this calling to go to a specific place. It was an imperative. My family, we moved from all of our relationships, all of our friendships, and we came to here, this Lewiston Clarkson Valley, because we felt God said go to Lewiston Clarkson Valley, and so we did. And you know how scary it is to go to a place where you don't know anybody? It's a little scary. But now we're family. Right? Well, at least I think we are. But here's the second thing this word carries, go. It means this. It means while you're going, or as you go, or wherever you're at in journey, as you go through life, make disciples. This is huge because very few people are going to be called to be missionaries. But all of us are included in the commission that wherever you're at in life, make disciples. That wherever you are going, as you go about life, whoever you are in life with, whoever you are in association of life, make it your priority to be on the same mission I am, to make disciples. That's our call. Whether you feel called to vocational ministry or not, doesn't matter. We are all included in this commission of Jesus, that he puts every one of us into relationships with this goal in mind. Go and make disciples. You see, a disciple is a lifelong learner. I took a class when I was younger, a discipleship class, and once I finished the class, I checked all the boxes and I wrote all the answers down. I got a certificate saying, congratulations, you finished the discipleship class. And I thought, yay, I'm a disciple. But I was probably around 18, 19, 20 years old, you know. No, I was learning to be a disciple. But discipleship is the rest of our lives.
Right.
Discipleship is where we're learning to believe in Jesus and learning how to love each other. Now listen, God has already promised that he's going to disciple us. So if you'll look with me in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 real quick, that we see Jesus promising some really important things, because here's the third thing that this word means to me. Whether you go to a people group or whether you just stay in the same place the rest of your life, for discipleship to take place, you got to be present with people. Say that word with me, present. Say it again, would you? Present. That discipleship is not just learning knowledge of the Bible. Discipleship takes place in relational environments. And dear ones, listen to me for just a moment. None of us can spend copious amount of times with a lot of people. It's just not possible. You got to have some hours to sleep. You got to have some hours to work. You got to have some hours to eat. You got to have some hours to take care of responsibilities. We can't just say, I can spend hour upon hour upon hour with everybody. It's just not possible. And here's the other thing, dear one. The clergy can't do it. I can't spend hours and hours and hours and hours. I would love to, but someone would have to do a time turner where I can slow down time or go back in time. It's just not possible. And Jesus didn't intend it to be that way. He intended for everyone to be in mission with him. That as you are on mission with him, he's going to disciple us so that we can help disciple others. Amen. On his journey. So look at the promise he gives us in John chapter 14, verse 15. Would you read it out loud with me? I like doing this every once in a while. Read it out loud with me. Here we go. If you love me, keep my commands. Read that again, would you? If you love me, keep my commands. Now don't see a stern face. Don't see a clenched fist. Don't see God, Jesus going, if you love me, you're going to keep my... It's not that way. He's just talking about, friends, if you love me, keep my commands. What did he command them? John 13, as I've loved you, love each other. He's already told them what the command was. And now he says, if you love me, you keep my commands. And here's the promise. Read with me, if you will. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. What is he talking about? That word another is huge because it means this: one who is just like me, but different from me. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. In essence, the Holy Spirit will do exactly what I would do if I was physically present with you. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Holy Spirit is with us 24/7, 365. He's with us, and he is discipling us into love and belief in Jesus. John goes on and says this in John 14. Keep going. Verse 17. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Isn't that crazy? He will be in us. Go with me to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Keep going. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make you. What? He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive. Does that make sense to you guys? It is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Ah, now I get it. Yeah, I got it. Sorry. Had a little brain cramp. Okay, keep going. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said to the Spirit, that's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Every day, Holy Spirit is discipling you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, every day, Holy Spirit is discipling you. Now Jesus says to his followers, come on mission with me. What is the mission? Go make disciples. And so when we co-mission with Jesus, when we co-labor, we are helping and partnering with him to do the most important thing that will ever take place in our lives. Disciple folks to Jesus Christ. But here again, it's got to happen through relationship.
Amen.
So here's my question. I got a couple questions for you. Well, Mike, where do I start with? And maybe you're already doing this. Who are you willing to be inconvenienced for? If someone asks you to do something and you're really not in relationship with them, many times as Christians we'll do this. Let me pray about it. I'll get back to you. Who are you willing to be inconvenienced for? Who in your life are you willing to sacrifice time for? Because love will inconvenience you. Now, as Christians, we're supposed to say this, oh, we'll do it for everybody, but let's be honest. Maybe you're there, most of us are not. But understand that when Jesus said, go and make disciples, you already have people in your life that you're willing to be inconvenienced for them. Because you love them. Go make disciples of them. Who do you have in your life right now that you see all the time? Go make disciples. That could be a husband, that could be a wife, that could be children, that could be family, that could be neighbors, that could be somebody in this church. God has already put you into relationship with folks that you and I can be part of this commission with him to go make disciples. And what are we teaching them to obey? We're teaching them to obey this. Jesus is trustworthy, and I'm going to love you no matter what.
Glory.
The world will change as we as followers of Christ take seriously the commission of Jesus. You say, Mike, I don't know how to love. I don't know what that looks like. I don't want to be taken advantage of. I don't want to be... That's why this book is filled with great examples and teaching on how to love each other. For you know, there's sometimes that people don't accept the love of Jesus Christ and they do bad things and they do wrong things, and Paul talks about that. He talks about how to deal with it. It's all still in love. He talks about husbands and wives, how you're to respond to each other. What does that look like in love? It talks about kids and parents. It talks about neighbors and church folk. It talks about people who don't believe in Jesus. How do you respond to them? It's filled with example after example after example of how we can love people in authentic ways. It's right there. It's explained out. It's explained out easily. It's there. It's not hard, but it's not easy. It's not hard to understand, but sometimes it's not easy to carry out. And so Paul says things like this. Love must be sincere. Paul says things like this in his writings. Consider others better than yourselves. Paul says things like this. In humility, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Paul, it's throughout the scripture that this is how love is lived out. And how do we know we are a disciple of Jesus Christ growing? Is we're obeying his word. And who gets the benefit when we obey his word? Others do, because we're loving them like Jesus did. So Paul says, and this is just for my own, 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this. I love this. Actually, it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. So faith is growing and love is increasing. Faith is growing and love is increasing. Faith is growing, love is increasing. This is how we understand that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Faith is growing and love is increasing. So do you know you're a follower of Jesus Christ? How do you know that? My faith is growing and my love is increasing. And as we grow and increase, Jesus promised the world will believe that God sent his son, and the world would know that he loves us the same way he loves Jesus. It works. It works. Amen. It works. Can I say it one more time? I'm going to say it till you guys respond back. It works. Amen. So just shut me up. Just shut me up by saying amen. It works. Amen. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Right? It works. This week, go. This week, go. When you go home, go. When you go to work, go. When you go to school, go. When you go shopping, go. When you go to a family reunion, go. When you go to church, go. It's just this idea of, as you're going about life, make disciples. You say, Mike, I don't know about God's word. We're all learning it. Discover. It's a beautiful thing. I'm done. So say with me, go. Turn to someone and say, go. 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 Get out. Go. Get. No. Some of you might feel called to a people group. Some might feel called, but most of us, we're just going to be in life with people. Tomorrow when you go to work, God has put you in relationship with some folks. Go. Love them. I can't. Well, that's you issue. Go back to God. Help me. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, man, I hate Christians. I just hate them. He's a Christian. And he goes, I just hate Christians. I said, that's a you problem. Because God loves them. And he goes, yeah, you're right. It's easy to say you, when God's saying, I want you to learn how to love. And if you don't know how to love, we'll help you. But mostly, Holy Spirit will disciple you by showing you and reminding you of what Jesus says. He'll help you. Amen. He will. Because that's his mission. In Jesus' name. So next week we're going to talk about what does it mean to teach and to make. What does that mean? But I want you to really sink this into your heart. I want you to really think about it. And if you have questions on this, Wednesday night, Pastor Jeff and I, 7 o'clock, we are in the fireside room. We're opening this up to discussion. We're open to people saying, what about this? What about that? If you want to discuss this, we'd love to have you come talk with us about it. Because I have never been experienced, I've never experienced this in my Christianese. Christian walk, Christian stuff. I have never had anyone tell me to emphasize two things, belief in Jesus and love each other. I've never been in a place where the church said, here's what we're about. We're about faith in Jesus and we're about loving each other. I've never been in a place where people are going to hear about a church. Have you heard about Valley Christian Center? Yeah, what did you hear about him? Man, they have faith in Jesus and they stink and love each other. That's authentic church now. And guys, that's what we're emphasizing. That's what we're going after. Faith in Jesus, and we're learning to love each other. Stand with me, if you will. I am an outgoing person. I like people. I like hanging out with people. It energizes me to be around people, mostly. I love people. I'm outgoing. But you know that this commission is for people who even just don't like hanging around a lot of people, that it takes energy for them. It just tires them out. Do you know that commission is for everybody? Because Jesus didn't say, go do this with 100 people. He just said, go make disciples. And that might be one person. But listen, look me in the eye real quick. If every one of us did this, everyone would be discipled. If every one of us said, God, I'm in, teach me how, everybody would be discipled because God has already put us all into relationships with folks who need to be on mission, be commissioned with Jesus. And that's the beauty of it. Now church is not a place I go. Church is a place where we connect in discipleship.
Amen.
Just humor me. Yeah. Thank you for humoring me.